Culture University. The university where you learn everything that is going on in the world of pop culture from your favorite professor, Professor Patty. You may know me as Patty Pop Culture from TikTok, real name Patty Emminger. If it is your first time here, thank you so much for coming. Everyone is welcome here. Take a seat in the classroom wherever you would like. Even the bisexuals are welcome, especially the bisexuals. It's Bisexual Awareness Month and we're aware of you. So thank you for coming. If you do not know, we are filming the podcast now. A lot of you guys are still listening on Spotify, but if you want to see my sexy, gorgeous Clark Kent Superman looking face and my rippling abs and muscles busting out of my shirt, please come to the YouTube version right now on the Petty Pop Culture YouTube channel. Another fun segment we do on the filmed version is I can finally do fun guest moments in the studio, and I love having a concept called a teacher's pet. As you know, in a university, there's probably someone who's hooking up with the teacher on the side to get the A+. So everything the teacher says, they just agree with, bow down to them, worship them, lick their feet, lick their ass, and make all the other students hate them. So the teacher's pet today is none other than a huge pop culture icon. Like, especially a podcaster icon. You definitely know him. You've definitely seen him. Doesn't even need an introduction, but Sloan Hooks.
Student Sloan.
Present. Student Sloan. Hi, student.
Oh, I'm excited. You're like, oh, you got this whole thing going. I love a good theme.
I know.
I feel
right?
like I'm really about to attend class. So, like,
yeah, I'm ready. Yeah. Sit down, face forward. Let's just get right into it. Welcome to Pop Culture University, students, a PhD level class. So we like to start every episode with what I call the bell ringer. It's the more funsy, less serious tea to prep you before I just stick it right in just to get you a bit wet first. So the bell ringer I want to talk about today kind of continues from last week. Last week we were talking about how I was nervous for Ice Spice to go and be the musical guest on SNL because Pete Davidson was hosting on SNL and we know his nasty ways with his BDE. Trying to slither into everyone when they host SNL together. So she could have gone down that pipeline as well. But we can breathe. They didn't date. They had a really successful episode. Did you watch it, Sloan?
I didn't watch it. I watched some clips of it. I watched her performances. The one performance she had with the guy, not a big fan. It's just like there was too much standing around.
Yeah.
But I love Pete Davidson.
I kind of love when she stands around, though. She's just so cute. Yeah. Like, she just looks like a little, like beanie baby. I want to grab her booty and, like, feel all the beanies in there. And
I like the viral clip of her where she was just kind of, like, looked like she was in her own world, barely paid attention. Then she smiles and she's like.
I know. She always, like, looks to the side when she's performing, like. And I'm like, what? Like, what is she looking at, girl? Focus. Give us something. But yeah, I love when she like twerks and then puts her hands in between her like booty and like wipes from behind.
God, stop! Every time I think about her, I can't stop thinking about like what Maddie Healy said about her being like Chinese fat lady.
Oh yeah, the chubby Chinese lady, Ice Spice.
Or like how some people try to say like she's like Down syndrome or something. Like
yeah,
there are so many nasty people. Every time I like think about her now, I just like think about those people who like make these memes, and I'm like,
it's so mean. But if Ice Spice is down, I'm down. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, she's thick. That's all that matters, right?
She's gorgeous. But we can breathe. They didn't hook up. But you know who can't breathe? Ice Spice, because this week she was caught smoking cigarettes. She wasn't really caught. She just put it on her Instagram. She said, bitch, I said what I said. I'd rather be famous instead. So people were really hating on her. There was a really, really, really viral tweet with over 100,000 likes, 65 million views. And it said, Ice Spice just lost all of her charm when she decided to smoke this cigarette. This is not the first young celebrity who lost their charm by smoking cigarettes lately. Two members of Gen Z, Jenna Ortega, was also caught smoking a cigarette. I believe on the set of Beetlejuice, someone was back there just watching her smoke in between takes. To me, Jenna Ortega, it makes a little bit more sense for her to smoke a cigarette. Her vibe is like a horror movie villain. I feel like she wants death to become her because that would just help her with her roles. She's method acting in that way. So it makes sense. But Ice Spice, her brand is baby prostitute. When Taylor Swift said sometimes I feel like everybody is a sexy baby. Ice Spice is a sexy baby. So why is she smoking cigarettes? To me, it's just very ugly and shows poor decision-making skills. And I feel like in Gen Z right now, there's a mass cognitive dissonance when it comes to cigarettes. Maybe big tobacco got back on our good side because of all the vapes. Sloan, do you have a vape in your hand right now?
I've got a vape. It's pretty much dead. But I don't really mind smoking as much. I mean, I don't smoke because I'll gag on those cigarettes. But I just think of like Lana Del Rey vibes. Like, maybe she just needs a cigarette. Like, let her have one.
Sure.
I see like younger people now at the bars. Like, I saw yesterday all these like 21-year-olds like just smoking cigarettes. Like, it's no big deal. So maybe they're coming back in. Maybe this is like a trend to begin.
History is repeating itself. We do not learn from the past. Cigarettes are unequivocally bad for you. I don't care if you just want one. I don't care if you just have it to get a little bit of a buzz. Cardi B was trying to defend people smoking cigarettes, and she said, I smoke cigarettes when I'm about to go, and you know I'm drinking a little bit. So you know when you drink Hennessy, you need a little boost. And when you're drinking Hennessy and you hit that cigarette, it just hits you right in your puss. So I guess it makes people feel good when they're drinking, which, by the way, we are drinking.
Yeah, I would rather them smoke cigarettes and smoke crack. So
cheers.
I don't think it's too bad. You know?
That's true.
I mean, back when I was like, you know, I remember like Lindsay Lohan and all of them, they were smoking more than just cigarettes. So I think it's fine if they just have like a little tobacco.
I don't think it's fine. I think it's ugly, fugly, dugly. And it, girls, if you want to be the ITGIRL, you don't smoke cigarettes. Princess Diana didn't smoke cigarettes. And if Ice Spice has that song in the hood, I'm like, Princess Diana, I thick as I be eating oats. Do you think she wants to stop to plug the hole in her throat and be like, I'm thick as I be eating oats. Bitch is not taking shit from me but notes. Got her name in my mouth, so I bet that bitch choke. You don't want to do that. And after one hit of a cigarette, let me just make it clear what happens to you. This is what you can learn at Pop Culture University today. After one inhalation of a cigarette, 5,000 harmful chemicals enter your body immediately. Tar goes in to decay your lungs, decay your gums. You get nerve damage in your respiratory system. Your bones are weakened. You immediately have worse eyesight. Your immune system is weakened, leaving you open to many different kinds of cancers, illnesses, not just lung cancer. And 1 in 3 cancer deaths are caused by smoking. So I just want to let everyone know, it's not a joke. And both of my grandparents that I never got to meet died from smoking. So my dad would always tell me and my siblings growing up, if I ever catch you smoking even one cigarette, I will break your hands so you can never hold a cigarette ever again. So I'm very scared of smoking. But yeah, Sloan, do you still feel like Gen Z should smoke?
Oh, I know. I love to hear that you come from such a nurturing environment.
Yeah.
It sounds really sweet. Yeah. That definitely, yeah. I definitely wouldn't rebel with that mentality.
Sloan actually saw my dad this weekend.
Short King.
Short King. Yeah. I brought my dad to the gay club, to the Abbey. I tried to get him to tip one of the male strippers.
He wouldn't?
He wasn't having it. No.
My dad is like all over it. He's like, okay. Like,
I know.
He's like, doesn't care. He's down to party.
I was like, do you not see his juicy ass? He deserves some money. Like, support his life. He was like, I'll go tip a woman stripper. Fine. I mean, I'm gay as fuck, but like, I would totally tip the opposite sex. That doesn't offend me. But I respected that. And I was like, okay, Dad, let's just go to a different club. But we had a really, really fun weekend. I'm so happy I got to see him, and it like made my heart full. Even though he didn't make the stripper's jockstrap full, my heart was full.
Why were they in town?
Just to see me.
Yeah, just to visit. Have they been here like since you've moved here?
No.
Oh, it's their first visit.
Yeah.
Cute.
I know.
Did you guys go anywhere else besides the Abbey, or just walk them in there?
Yeah, we were just in the Abbey the whole time. No, we saw like the basic LA girly shit. We went to the Magic Castle.
Oh, wow.
Which was super
fun.
How'd
you get in?
My friend is a magician.
Day?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, really? He got you in?
Mm-hmm.
Cute.
It was so cool. There was this one guy at the Magic Castle. So if you've never been in LA, there's this really exclusive-esque club called the Magic Castle. It's on this little bit of a hill, and it's home to the most famous musicians. Magicians?
I was like, it makes a magician and musician. Yeah. I was
like, there should be someone who incorporates like magic into their performances as a music artist, because
I think your friend does that. I think Day does that.
Oh, yeah.
He's literally like a singer and like a... Or they. Excuse me, they.
Yeah, they. Thank you for correcting yourself. No, I like always do that, like right to Day. I'm like, heat they. they don't care. But yeah, Day is a great singer and musician. Go check out Day Mori on Instagram. But yeah, there was this one comedy act at the Magic Castle who was doing this thing called face juggling. And he was putting pool balls on his face and like juggling them all around.
Ew.
And this was the first thing me and my dad did. So when he started to juggle a pool ball on his face and he was putting ping pong balls in his mouth and like shooting them up in the air and catching them in his mouth again and like stabbing melons behind his legs, I was like, what did I bring my dad to? He's gonna think I'm so weird and hate this. But I look over at him and he was crying laughing. He was having the best time of his life. So thank God I brought him there. We went to the observatory. Mm. We went to Sur. My stepmom's a big fan of like the Vanderpump Rules world.
Do you see any of them?
Mm-mm.
No, it's all just the background people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the paid extras. No, we saw like the manager there who's, I guess, famous, and we like took a photo with him. But yeah, I think what we can learn from the smoking thing is to just learn to resist momentary satisfaction for long-term satisfaction. And if you're doing something to look for the sole reason of looking cool or getting a buzz, just think to yourself, what buzz am I chasing and what like image am I chasing? And really make your decision from there. Okay, so speaking of Ice Spice, her bestie, Taylor Swift. That's the weirdest pair of besties since Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg or Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un. But Taylor Swift and Ice Spice, they are besties and they were supporting each other at SNL this weekend. Ice Spice was the musical guest, and Taylor Swift and her new sexy daddy boyfriend, who literally gets me steamy anytime I see a photo of him, Travis Kelce, they decided to stop in the Saturday Night Live filming in between their date to support her. Not only that, but Taylor and Travis decided to partake in a skit making fun of Taylor's exes. And that blew my fucking mind because the Precious Prince Joe Alwyn would have never let any inside media speculation get into their relationship, especially on like directly from themselves. So the fact that Taylor's with a man who's choosing fun and choosing spontaneity was making me so giddy and happy for them. So in this skit, they were at a NFL news table. Like, I don't really know how that NFL works. I'm not into hockey like that. But at this table, they were making fun of the absolute madness and mania going on between these two people's relationship that is literally just budding and blooming, and how the public probably cares about it more than the two people in said relationship themselves. So there is five NFL newscasters going off about Taylor Swift instead of football. And at the end of said skit, Travis Kelce popped up. So did you see that skit?
No, I did not.
It was so amazing.
Really?
I was like screaming when I saw it because we really haven't been let into Taylor's life like that since the last 1989 era. And I love that we're kind of getting welcomed back into it when 1989 Taylor's version is coming out. I'm worried for her though, because this is definitely inviting an overexposure amount of level into her life, especially when the Eras Tour is already taking over every piece of media in the whole entire world. The movie came out this weekend. She had her premiere like two blocks away from my house and I wasn't invited. I don't know how to get invited to certain things like that.
Like, I feel like we could have broken into that. Like, it's a Grove.
Yeah,
like,
it wouldn't have been hard.
Sneak through, like, Cheesecake Factory.
Also, all my friends, not you, because you're not really even a Swiftie, but all my friends are literally assholes for not telling me about that. Like, I could have saw Taylor Swift 20 feet in front of me while watching her movie. I didn't. I'm going to go into my reputation era because of that. But I'm worried about Taylor Swift because she is getting really messy. In this skit, they were making fun of Maddie Healy and Joe Alwyn. They were saying, you know, at least Taylor isn't with Maddie Healy. He's disgusting. He's gross. He was a bad boyfriend. And that Joe Alwyn was so boring and was kind of like tolerating Taylor and not letting her be bejeweled and all of that. And I'm just obsessed with the fact that Taylor Swift was in the crowd watching that go down, eating her ketchup and seemingly ranch and just laughing about the whole thing. Do you support Taylor and Travis?
Oh, of course. And there must be something about him that's making her like so active and out there. I mean, she's eating it up. So she seems happy.
Yeah.
Do you think it's real?
I, of course, think it's real.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I feel like people always question, like, oh, could it be real or not? It's like, yeah, probably. Like, she's pretty desirable. He's really desirable.
Yeah.
Like, of course they're in a relationship. Like, let them just do their thing. But it's definitely weird how, like, there's a whole new industry now being created around them. And just, like...
That's so true. Yeah, it's kind of like this whole Travis economy that is being formed, like, around them. And it's two massive worlds meeting. The only faction of fans in America Taylor Swift maybe didn't tap into was middle-aged straight men, and now they're all becoming aware of her.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of like an... I don't want to spread the whole narrative that Taylor Swift is a calculated, a diabolical genius, but she's really fucking smart. I don't know if she really took that into consideration when accepting Travis Kelce's proposal to date via the friendship bracelet, but it's really working out for her, as well as Travis, of course. And I just know it's big.
Oh, I mean, he looks great. I saw a lot of people on Twitter very upset over his, like, chest hair.
People were upset about his chest hair?
Yeah, they were like, I guess some Swifties were just disgusted. Like, they wanted him to be, like, shaved clean. Because they're all, like, what, young girls. They just think that, like, men are just, like, impubescent for the rest of their lives.
I saw his chest hair and was, like, jumping for joy.
No, I was so excited for her. Because she really needs, like, a man after Matty Healy. Like, he just looks like a little bitch, so.
I want to climb him like a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I need something to grab onto.
He's tall, too, isn't he? He has to be, right?
Yeah, she was wearing, like, 6-inch heels.
Because she's tall, too, right? Heels. She's bigger than both of us.
Yeah.
She's tall. So she needs, like, a big man. Yeah, like an athlete.
She's skinnier than the both of us, but she's bigger and badder than the both of us. But, yeah, he made her look short.
Mm.
So finally she can feel like just, you know, the petite little woman in the relationship.
Yeah.
That's sexy within itself.
Especially like, it's like a lot of those relationships have like, I mean, obviously there's a major power dynamic here, but maybe she doesn't feel that way. Cause he's just so big.
Yeah, that's actually so true. I would like speculate about them having sex, but let's not do that. Okay, fine. Let's do that. Do you think Taylor Swift and Travis are already having sex?
Oh, I think they did, like, probably the first date. Like, why not?
I don't know. Because if I was, you know, going on a first date with someone and I felt like it, sure. But, like, she's Taylor Swift. Do you know what I'm saying? Every facet of her life gets dissected, even if she just eats ketchup with a white substance next to it that seems like ranch. So do you think she was eating Travis Kelce's white substance? Oh my gosh,
no. You set that up so bad.
Sorry.
No, maybe. I think she would. Why not? I mean, they probably didn't go out on a first date in public. They probably were like hanging out for a while in private. She wanted to test it out before she put it on, you know, in the headlines.
Yeah, she said, boy, I want to meet your mama on a Sunday, then make a lot of love on a Monday.
I mean, she's probably so exhausted from that tour, too. She needs a...
I know.
Someone to just relieve her stress.
I know. No, he's exhausted too, but that's actually so sexy that they got each other like that. But yeah, I think they are having sex now because he was just seen literally this morning leaving her New York Tribeca apartment.
Mm.
Probably like $25 million. So you know they got it on.
Was she proposed to the Joe guy?
Never. No.
Or engaged, I mean. Did he propose?
No, she wrote a song about how she turned down his engagement.
Oh. What if she, like, accepts this guy, like, this year? That'd be great.
Yeah, I think she can just tell something was wrong with Joe. But right now, everything is right with Travis, and I'm so happy for them. I also love how she, like, she just shamelessly loves being famous. She loves to invite the public speculation into her personal life. And I feel like them doing this whole SNL skit, it really shined an unmistakable light on a previously pondered about topic of if Taylor Swift likes the rabid adoration from fans and just fervent dissection of her personal life. And her doing this makes me realize she's very content with it. She loves it. And she's happy to be back in the swing of things, of getting into the media. Because during the whole Joe era, which was a 6-year era, we got nothing from her. And now, bringing it back to SNL, when she hosted SNL, she called out exes in 2008 as well. She sang a song about how Joe Jonas broke up with her over the phone. She sang a song about how she's dating the werewolf from Twilight. So this is who she is at her core. And the fact that Travis likes playing into that with her, obsessed with. Yeah, so it seems like Taylor is back. I stan them because his number is 87 and her lucky number is 13. And what does that add up to? A perfect 100.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. That's sweet.
She completes her.
She seems very much in control, which is nice. Like, she's got control of the narrative. I feel like everything that she puts out, it's probably calculated, but I think it's still also happening at the same time. So I don't know. I think I feel good about her, like, putting it out there, because it's not like a Britney Spears 2007 where she's like, you know, being exploited in every asset. I feel like we only know what she wants us to know.
That's true. She's very in control, even though it seems out of her control at the same time. And I think she lets us in because it's a sign of respect to her fans. She knows what we want. She knows we want it. And she sees her fans as genuine friends. Like, it's almost like her being on the phone call with us, like, oh my God, we went to this game and then we went out to dinner. Her letting us see that is her kind of like gossiping with us, because she genuinely has a mutual respect for us. What do you think we can learn from this? I wrote down in a rush, like, as compared to her life in secrecy with Joe and the freedom she has now with Travis, there could be a message about like how living more freely without secrets, without trying to hide parts of yourself is very just freeing. It's nice to not live with any like boundaries, anything to hide.
Mine's a little bit more negative. I mean, I think right now she's on a high. She's just made so much money from this tour and this movie. Everything that goes up has to come down at some point. And I think the lesson will be between Joe and Travis is that there needs to be moderation. You don't need to put everything out there. And maybe they'll, you know, calm down a little bit, you know, ease out, and then they'll be a great couple. But I think that there's a fine balance. And right now, the reason why this is even like part of a conversation is because she's a little bit over, you know, the top. But I think it's also kind of expected because we're seeing her in so many different ways with this tour, with this movie. She's everywhere. So like, yeah, it's bound to be public news every time her and this guy goes out. But I do think it's a lot. And sometimes when you are like doing so much, then people get like, I mean, actually, I don't think the Swifties will get like oversaturated with it, but
no, never.
At least I'm kind of like, it's hard for me to keep up because there's just so much happening that I wonder like when they have problems, like, are we not going to see them together for a couple weeks, or is there going to be a post or something? Like, I mean, she doesn't post like that, but.
Yeah, not everything can be positive forever. And I like when you said what goes up must come down.
Yeah.
Because the historic, you know, aftermath of the 1989 era, which we're witnessing again, is the Reputation era. And the whole like media concept of overexposure basically means like when people see you so much and just become like fed up with you, they actually grow resentful towards you and just start to get irritated and want to see you fall. I would never want Taylor Swift to fall.
But. Yeah, but maybe you'll get like so bored of this Travis guy at some point. I mean, yeah, he's hot, but like, and he talks pretty well about her too. So maybe they'll be great.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see where everything goes, but I'm sure we'll be staying tuned, Swifties. Okay, you guys. So as I promised last month, I would have a boyfriend in a week, and that did not happen. My dating life has been a complete fucking flop. And I always say on this podcast, students, I want this podcast to be a hero's journey of my time in LA, because you guys were riding with me as I was thinking about moving, then in the transition of moving, and now we're here. So I want to open you up to the world of dating in LA. To me, it's trash. It's treacherous. Terrible. Landmines everywhere. Grenades everywhere. It's so much harder for me to find a stable relationship in here than in Chicago. So do you agree? It's hard
for
you? No,
I have the opposite experience. Everything's great. Okay. There's so many guys. They're all so nice to me. I had like my pick from my most recent boyfriend. I had a few to pick from. So I don't know. I've had a great experience, but I'm also like, I think I'm good at sussing out people. Like, where are you meeting them? Grindr? You need to go on Hinge. Hinge is where husbands come from.
Hinge, where husbands come from. That should be the slogan.
There's only morals on that website. But no, I mean, I think it's, I can see why other people have, but you know, maybe I'm just like kind of like a good catch. Not saying you are, but you should be
you're
the Grindr just, and on the Hinge.
You're irresistible. Everyone wants to lock you up. They're coming for you. Oh my God, speaking of lock you up, we need to talk about something later, about some horrible, evil man who locked up a very amazing woman. Can't wait to talk about that. Stay tuned in the podcast. Also, if you haven't liked this podcast yet, I guess you're just a hater. And hating bitches don't win, and winning bitches don't hate. So you should like the podcast and subscribe. Or join the video version if you haven't. Anyway, I guess I'm the problem.
No, so what's going on? Because we need a supportive environment here. Lessons learned. Like,
yeah, is this a safe space?
Yeah, it's a safe space. Like, trust me, it hasn't been always perfect for me. I think I've told you some stories. But it's a good dating pool because, I mean, compared to Virginia, where I'm from, there's no gay men. So it was like your choice out of five. Here, there's like, you know, half the population, it feels like, are gay. So
yeah, I feel like you seem to be like having your cake, as in your huge ass, and eating it too.
And eating some too. Oh my God, I can't. So then what happened to yours? What happened to your cake this
weekend? I love when we're at the club and you show me your butt.
Do I?
It's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Well, I get so excited.
I do like to get creative with my underwear.
it's your art form. You're just channeling Britney Spears in her house.
Well, even when I was like stick thin, I always had a big butt. So I don't know. It's just part of me. Yeah.
Damn.
I think it balances me. So when I can walk right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like the levels.
Damn. Check the throwback pics. Sloan has been that bitch.
Okay.
His huge ass.
I need to hear about this man though.
Okay. So my dating life has been literally terrible. Anytime I go on a date with someone, I went on a date with someone like last 2 weeks ago, I had the best time, and that was the first date where I feel like I was just truly myself. I wasn't trying to be anything for anyone. I was like making him laugh so much. He didn't really make me laugh at all. I was gonna text him though, give him a second chance. I never got a text from him. Never heard back. Before that, I would just get rejected in like smaller ways. Like I'd be texting someone that I met at the club or texting someone that I met on an app, and they would just stop texting me, things of that nature. I don't know. I think I am the problem in a bit of a way. And I think someone needs to study how I went from being the most anxiously attached person to anyone I would talk to now just being completely like avoidant. I think when these guys don't text me back, maybe I'm not giving them enough attention, and or I just let them fade away with no longing for them at all. I don't know really where this transition happened, because I used to like be spamming people or just be thinking about them all day. Now, if I like you, I just won't text you back. So this is what happened this weekend. I was at the Magic Castle and we were there for like my friend's birthday party. There was a really fun group of like 15 of us. And at one point, this is such a like a romantic story. I just like it. My friend Day told me and this man who I was talking to go in the phone booth, because it's like a magical phone booth. And when you go in there, you close the door, you pick up the phone, something happens and it's like magical. But he told us to go in there one at a time. But we accidentally lunge for the door at the same time. So we just get shoved in there together, and Day like closes the door. So there we are, like smushed up against each other, body to body, faces like this far apart. The first time we've ever spoken was like in the phone booth. So we pick up the phone, the magical thing happens, and we just start making jokes about it and laughing. And I'm not upset that I'm face to face with this man, like feeling him breathe. I was enjoying it, and I think he was too. We were in there for like 2 minutes, and we did not need to be. It was like our 7 minutes in heaven moment.
Did you make out?
I wanted to, but in the phone booth, no. But then, so after that, we clearly felt some sparks going on, because at the next magic show, we sit next to each other, and then during the show, we start like touching each other, and then we're holding hands in a magic show, but we're in the back row. We're drunk at this point.
Do
we're
I know
like
who this
drunk
is?
In love. Yeah.
I do? Oh my gosh, you're gonna show me, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you
I'm
can't
not gonna
say
anything. I'm just gonna react.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think you know?
No.
Oh, okay.
Like, is it someone in my friend group with like
you that... posted them on your story this weekend? Yeah.
This weekend.
Oh yeah. You'll see. But then he like volunteers to be part of the magic act, and he's looking at me the whole time while he's on the stage doing all the magic shit. And at one point in the night we get separated in the Magic Castle. And I was like so upset. I was like, fuck, I should have gotten his number after the second show we went to. I'm so stupid. Because it's not every day that you meet someone in person and it's sparks flying and very magical. Because we were in the Magic Castle. So before I leave, I make sure to find him. I get his phone number. And luckily, we go out together afterwards. We're having a great time. I don't like to make out at the club.
Which night was this? Not Saturday, right?
I think Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. Okay.
I don't like to kiss people at the club, like in front of people. I do it all the time, but we were in Beaches, so it's very bright in there.
Yeah.
It's like outside, so everyone can see you. We're in the middle of everyone doing this, but I was just very into them. And then afterwards, he texts me about how much of an amazing time he had. And I'm not going to read the text, but it's a very long text. I'll be private about people's emotions. But he texted me right after that, and that was a week ago, and I just didn't respond to him. I don't know why I'm like that. I'm such an asshole. But nowadays, if I like you, I'm not going to respond to you. And then literally right as we started to record this podcast at 4:02 p.m., it's 4:42 p.m., he followed up again and texted me. I feel like I need to text him.
Does he have two letters in his name?
No, I'll show you right now.
Oh my God, stop. Then it's not.
Right.
Okay, so I know who this is. And wait, did you guys go on a date or you just met at this castle thing?
No, we want to go on a date.
Oh, okay. Nothing's happened yet, though.
Also, if you feel like this person has bad vibes,
yeah, just I'll give you the tea right now.
Don't react in like a negative way.
Okay, I'll keep it positive for you.
Because I'm sure if he knows.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I like him.
Okay, good.
I just saw him on Saturday. That's who I was thinking about Saturday. And I walked into a party and I like usually know a few different people. Girl, I didn't know one person.
Yeah.
And then he walked in 5 minutes after me and I was like, oh, yes, because he's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, super fun. Easy to talk to. Lots of confidence.
Uh-huh.
We were just playing off each other so well. Oh, and before I left the club, I was like dying for someone to just tell me how amazing I am this week. I don't know why. I needed some like positive affirmation in my life. I have I think I have a praise kink if you compliment me more. So we're standing outside the club. He was like, I think you're attractive, smart, and witty, and perfect, and all these things. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna cry. I'm in love. And then I just don't text him back.
No, he's great. He doesn't have an iPhone, does he? It's like green.
An Android or something.
No, he's really nice. And he goes out a lot. And he's actually, I think he's been sober this week. I don't know if he was, he probably wasn't sober on Thursday right now. He was sober Saturday at least. And
we were drunk in love Thursday.
Yeah, no, he's really great. I approve. Okay. I'm surprised.
Me too.
But I approve. He's a good time.
My type has been like shifting a lot.
Oh, trust me. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't talk about
it. Dying to know. But yeah. Anyway, was that a cute story? Did you like it?
Yeah, I know it was.
Okay, did you like the story? Okay, cool. I didn't know if I was giving enough like imagery, but yeah.
Well, what club did you go to after Castle?
Beaches.
Oh, Beaches. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Wait, Thursday, did I see you then? No, I was only on Beaches for like an hour. Then I went to this one house with like 15-year-olds.
I was like, so 15, you went 40 to year olds. Neverland.
It was like 15, 40-year-olds from San Francisco all renting this big mansion and like a hot tub. We all got in the hot tub after and I was up to like 5 a.m.
I saw you in that hot tub on your story.
Yes.
Were you naked?
I was.
Yeah.
Actually, the lawyer, it was his birthday. He works directly with Matthew Rosengart, Britney's lawyer, at Greenberg. Trig, I don't know.
God, I would bow down to him.
Yeah, no, I was like, happy birthday. So give him a show.
I would lock my jaw for him.
Ooh.
Oh.
What is that called? TJM? It's like a lock, the disorder you get when your like jaw's all locked up and it's like super sore.
Oh my God.
I'm getting my teeth done tomorrow. So I'd like answer this questionnaire. I was like, yeah, I've actually had that before.
Seriously?
But I'm not getting veneers, no. But I'm getting like all the other things done, like gum burning, bleaching, 4 rounds of bleaching, and then like binding in like a few spots, bonding, binding.
Oh, that's so inspirational.
Well, my friend, you know, Spill Sash is, well, she's doing something right now, a project, and she just got her like teeth done. And I saw them, and within minutes, I was like, oh, I need to like go to your doctor immediately.
Wow. So, I mean, you're gorgeous and fabulous. I always thought you had great teeth.
Yeah. They could be, but everyone here has like beautiful, like white, like.
For sure.
So I just want like a little like gap, like fixed on the side, and then like. Whitened in, you know, I don't know. Why not?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
Invest in yourself.
No, seriously. I love that HRH quote where she's like, I'm not even kidding. The second you get a hold of money, do not go to college. Go to the plastic surgeon. Yeah. It is a better investment than college. And she's right.
Well, everyone's ugly in her book, so.
Except her. But yeah, got a bag and fix my teeth. Hope you hoes know it ain't cheap. That's a Cardi B line. As you guys know, I speak in like pop culture quotes, but. Yeah, I'm very happy for you. I'm excited to see that. I want shit done too. I'm so excited to get my hair done. I want a hair transplant.
Really?
Just to sharpen up the
my friend just got
receding.
One. Yeah, he's like been wearing wigs around though because it's healing.
Really?
Yeah,
that's what I want to do. Who's your friend?
My friend William. He had like I posted him.
William, I was talking to a guy. Does he look like Shawn Mendes?
No, he's like light skin black.
Oh,
yeah.
Unless, maybe looks like Shawn Mendes' type.
Yeah, no, like Shawn Mendes' photographer. I don't know what his photographer.
You know what?
Like,
I hate to say this and expose this person, but I hooked up with someone recently who looked like Shawn Mendes.
You're exposing him? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm not exposing this person. I won't say their name, but they said during it that made them really uncomfortable when I said they look like Shawn Mendes.
Oh.
But they already look a lot like him. And when we turned the lights off to get hot in the body shop. He just looked more like Sean because the light of the TV was like reflecting on him. And at one point I gasped because I was like, oh my God, it looks like Shawn Mendes is going down on me right now. And he was like, that's such a boner killer.
Ew.
And I was like, should I call you Senorita? But it looked exactly, he looked exactly like Shawn Mendes. I'm not even into Shawn, but it was fun.
That's what happens when you, I learned in like psychology that when you don't have full like vision of the room, you just fill that, your mind will actually fill the empty spaces with what it wants to see. So yeah, you probably can only see some of his face and then filled it the rest with Shawn Mendes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, that's a little different though. I don't know if I would, I mean, it's a compliment, obviously.
For sure.
Like imagine if you said he looked like, you know, who would you say?
Luther Vandross.
Oh my God, I don't know who that is, but they sound scary.
Like Tory Lanez or something.
Oh, yeah.
Liam Payne. That'd be bad.
Why can't I think of anyone I'm not like attracted to right now? I'm attracted to everyone.
You're just so horny. You're attracted to everyone.
Actually, you know who I'm so over is Tyga. Tyga's like so like, oh God.
Well, Tyga's gay.
Well, I think it's a different type of gay.
Oh, pans.
Or he likes the trans.
Yeah.
No, I don't know about pans, but.
Yeah, maybe like a chaser of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's how the dating world is going on here in LA. It's mixed matched. Shit has hit the fan. It's not easy around here. So
go out with that guy.
Yeah, I'll text him back once I feel like it. Once I talk to my therapist.
Don't
text him back
too fast. Yeah. Yeah. Keep them wanting like something, you know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I should not text him back for like another week at this point. I'll make it two. All right. So there's a lot of couples in Hollywood that are a great example of what not to do. We don't really have any good examples. Kim and Kanye broke up. Jay-Z cheated on Beyonce. But the number one horrible example of what not to do in your relationship is Will and Jada Pinkett Smith. Even saying Jada Pinkett Smith's name scares me. I feel like if I say her name three times in the mirror, in the bathroom, in the dark, she would appear and just like curse my whole life or something. She is the scariest entity ever. And after Will Smith smacked Chris Rock on the Oscar stage to try to impress her, I knew she was a demonic entity. Do you have any negative feelings about Jada Pinkett Smith?
Oh, there's nothing I like about her.
Thank you for agreeing with me on that. You're the best teacher's pet in the world. That's all I need to hear. But let's just, if you don't know, here's a brief background of Will and Jada. And so they met when Jada auditioned for a role as Will's girlfriend in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. She didn't get the role because she was too short. That would be so horrible. I'm sure Zac Efron has had that problem before in his life as well. But that's why she didn't get the role. But she got the role of wife in real life. So good for her. Snaps for that.
That's what they say. She didn't get the role because of that. But, you know, I wonder what the real reason is. If she was really that great, she would have the role. They'll put a little heel on her.
She's also like a D-list actress.
Yeah.
She probably just couldn't act.
She just had to find something to like cope with. And it's like, yeah, I was just too short. Like they don't put people in little platform shoes all the time for everything. So
yeah, they're like, we're actually going to have to pan down to your feet here and see that you're wearing heels. But once bitches start failing, they need something to blame it on. So she's probably like, it's just because I'm short. You're being discriminatory. But I hate short people. Let's just air this out. I really don't like short people.
I normally don't, but you know.
Except my dad. Love you, dad.
Yeah, no. No, I don't mind short. Actually, no. I mean, I'm not. Right. I usually am not, but you know.
Sloan's recently lately, found love with short people.
Recently, I found like a 5'2". Yeah. Cute guy.
A 5'2" little diamond in the rough. What am I going to do with 5'2"? Nothing. I think short people are sneaky backstabbers, like Napoleon or Paul Schaefer. Historically, they act short. If I say you are short and I'm describing that as an adjective related to your physical appearance, that's a good thing. If I say you are short and that's an adjective to your personality, that's a bad thing. Short people act like so sneaky. Everyone in West Hollywood who steals your phone at the club is a short little bitch who's trying to... who's trying to weasel their way around you and rub your pockets to see where your phone is. And then you look to your left, you just got your pocket touched. Who's there? A 5'2 girl.
It doesn't even belong there.
Or man, who it is not tall enough to enter this club. And I compare how short people act to how people who ride motorcycles on the street act. They weasel through everything. They don't wait their turn. They cut you. They almost cause accidents because they think they're so unnoticeable and cool. They're not. So short people, get it together, please.
It's also wild because, like, if you're calling them short, then they really are short because you're not tall. Like, so if these people
so
are...
So you're expelled. I'm going to write your note.
These people are short in your world, then, yeah, they're actually short.
Am I not taller than you?
Oh, I don't know. But if you're not 6 foot or 6 foot one over, you're short.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you're not 6 foot, you may as well be
5'2". I'm like 5'9 and a half.
I'm 5'11". I'm literally taller.
I try to, like, minimize my height, but I'm probably, like, the same height as you. Are you?
I mean, love being tall.
I feel like you stand close to each other all the time, and I don't notice a difference.
Oh, I notice a difference.
Oh, really? I am shorter?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. I kind of like it. I like being the shorter one. You do, too? You like being the shorter one?
I think as a kid I liked it, but now that I'm, like, grown, I'm like, maybe just because you've never experienced being, like, 2 inches taller, but it's the best feeling in the whole world. Like, being tall, you just have something on people. You like your proportions. I don't know.
It's like to the basic, like, you know.
There's more to love. There's like, I don't know. I love tall people.
Well, it's also like back to like natural selection. Like, they're just bigger. They're just like here to survive.
Yeah.
These little ones are going to get eaten up.
Yeah. I don't know. Short people can be cute though. Like, if Nick Jonas asked me to hook up, I wouldn't say no. So anyway, short demon Jada Pinkett Smith is coming out with a book called Worthy. Good for her. There's a lot of actually really great stories in that book about how she used to sell crack and went through depression and things like that.
Yeah,
so
she sounds like a great person. Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing I like about her. Nothing that's appealing at all. Even her show is just like awkward. It was like, is this supposed to be woke? Because it's just kind of cringe. And like,
it sounds like she desperately wanted a talk show, but no, like, syndicated television network would give her one. So she was like, I'm going to go on Facebook.
I'm going to buy a
Red Table Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, Facebook Marketplace, Red Table.
She's like the definition, too, of just sharing too much to where, like, no one wants to hear this. Like, exactly. I don't want to hear it.
Thank you. She's pimping out her life.
Yeah.
Because she is not a good actress and she wants to be famous. That's probably why she married Will Smith, because he has all the clout. He's like the A-lister of the bunch. And she knows, you know, being with someone like that could definitely elevate her public profile. So here are five times Jada Pinkett Smith went out of her way to humiliate Will Smith. So the first time is when she said she never wanted to get married to him, even though they have been married for over 20 years at this point. She said in some interview that she cried on her wedding day because she did not want to marry him, but her mother, who's very religious, forced her to do so. That wouldn't make me feel good if my husband was like, I actually didn't want to marry you that day.
There's something interesting about someone who's so confident to say all these things, yet not confident enough to just stop a marriage they didn't want to be in and to stand up for themselves. It's just like a weird, like, oh, I'm a victim, help me. Yeah, I'm like trashing everyone along the way. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's like she's wrong because she made a promise to someone that she did not want to keep, did not want in the first place. Like, to me, she's fully in control of that moment and shifting off the blame to her husband, to her mother, to everyone else in her life. So it's just like no accountability. And someone who wants to play victim so hard, even though she's like had one of the most privileged lives for a long time because of her husband's success.
Yeah. Like, don't you want to get out of the streets and stop selling crack? Do you not want the 50% of the net worth? Jada Pinkett Smith, it seems like she is just crying about nothing here. And I have no empathy for her. Second of all, she said that she cheated on him in 2011. She also cheated on him in 2020 and then called it an entanglement instead of cheating. I don't know if you remember that scandal, but she cheated on him with Jaden Smith's her son's friends.
Not Justin Bieber, right?
No.
Because I've been working on a video for a while about her and Justin Bieber having something. It's hard to find information about, but... Oh, it's just like giving pervert. Like, your son's friend?
I know.
Like,
imagine if Will hooked up with one of Willow Smith's friends.
Yeah.
Canceled, over,
I mean, he kind of, I don't think he's that innocent either. So I think they're both perfect for each other in a fucked up way.
I think Will is someone who like desperately wanted love and a family. I actually wrote down this quote that I thought was interesting. He said, there wasn't a day in my life I wanted anything other than to be married and have a family. So I feel like he's just desperate for the perfect, you know, American dream, white picket fence family. Everything is beautiful. And there are these people that you look up to in Hollywood. And Jada was just manipulating him and exploiting him the whole entire time, taking advantage of his kindness and desire for a real happy life.
Mm, he's a people pleaser.
Yeah, and that's why she stuck with him. The fourth thing is that she said that Tupac is her real soulmate. She goes on and on and on about how she actually loves Tupac and he's her number one soulmate. Isn't that weird?
You know, I've heard about Tupac. Was it he killed, but people think he's alive, right?
Yeah, he was killed in Las Vegas. I bet you the day like Tupac was killed in Las Vegas that Jada Pinkett Smith was like, take Will instead. It should have been Will.
She was like, how can I use this in the future?
Yeah, right. But she even must have talked about it so much at home about how much she loves Tupac that there's a letter that Willow Smith wrote to Tupac that said, please come back so mommy can be happy.
Ugh.
Isn't that really creepy?
So creepy. Cringe. Yeah. Weirdo.
But also on the same note, she'll say her and Tupac never married. The obvious question is, if he's your soulmate, why weren't you married? She said, because we never had the best chemistry.
So maybe the storyline probably sounds really good, but these headlines like, oh yeah, you know, he was my soulmate, but you know, she definitely wasn't his. And how gross is she to like go and just like use his name in this way?
Exactly.
Because he can't respond.
No, exactly. Like, she staked a claim on the love story of his life, saying that she is Tupac's one true soulmate, just to capitalize on it when he cannot, you know, refute that claim. Really weird, really creepy. Fifth, so this is the current news. This is why we're talking about the students in this episode. Because in her book, when Will Smith smacked Chris Rock and yelled, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. Except way more manly and scary. I was like, when he did that, I was like, ooh, kind of hot. Mm. But apparently, they weren't even married at that time. She said that in her book. The direct quote was,
have they ever been married?
Yes, since 1997.
So they divorced or they're separated?
So they never officially on paper got divorced.
How long have they been separated? A while?
Like apparently like 6 years.
But then they're like, they've been posing as a couple in the meantime?
Yeah, but like they said they were like taking a break. So she said in her new book, Worthy, that first of all, I'm really shocked because mind you, I'm not there. We haven't called each other husband and wife in a long time. So while he's proclaiming his love for his wife by assaulting and physically like battering someone at the most watched televised event of the year, in her mind, she's confused why he's even calling her his wife. That just digs the knife deeper into Will Smith, because now she's taking it one step further to humiliate him. The whole narrative was like, Jada manipulated Will this whole time of their whole marriage to make him feel like he better do everything he can to impress her, to prove that he's a good husband, to go above and beyond for her, or else he will not get any love. Like, he has to fight for any scrap of love that he gets from her because she just is a narcissist who only cares about herself, treats him like shit. So people were like, he went up there because he was like Jada's servant in a way. He was doing that to impress her. Now it looks even worse because imagine doing that for someone who isn't even claiming you as their husband at that time. She's making Will look even more horrible here and humiliating him even further. And it I don't know, it's just so sinister that she's doing this to sell a book, because she's like, yeah, we weren't even married at that time. We didn't even love each other at that time. There's really no limit to the dig she'll take at him, saying that they're not even soulmates and Tupac is her soulmate, that they weren't even married. Like, what's next? Is she going to say that Jaden and Willow aren't his kids, or that she's locked up his dick in a cage for the last 10 years and hasn't let him come in 10 years?
Did she ask him to go hit the guy?
People think Will felt like he better go hit him or Jada will divorce him or something.
I mean, I can understand Jada if she like, if he like really like randomly did that and she did not want him to do it and was like, wait, bro, like where did that come from? Mm-hmm. I can understand her being weirded out, but like, ugh, it just sounds, it sounds really toxic. And also I low-key wish we could see their arguments. Like their fights would be so great. Like a reality TV show of that.
I know.
I'm sure they like, it would be like a Zeus Network. Like that type of like fighting. <Zeus Network. laughs> I'd love to see it though. Cause like they seem crazy. I could see her getting, like I could just see them being like so nasty to each other. And it screams that maybe, like, you know, I don't know if Tupac was her soulmate, but I don't think Will ever was.
No, me either. And I feel like Will is, like, the submissive person in the relationship. Like, they're fighting on the show would be Will just, like, crying in the corner, like, please, Jada, mm-hmm. no. Like,
until he finally breaks and then, like, you know, then he's in jail and then it's, like, a housewife's moment. And it would be, like, great TV, but terrible household. And those kids, like, No wonder, you know, Jaden's gone through all the phases because he's probably trying to figure out himself.
Yeah.
With these parents that don't even like that have been really appropriating their relationship. Like,
oh, for sure. Oh my God. Yeah. I feel bad for the kids too. And I know they have like great nepotism and like Jaden got to be the karate kid and and Willow got to whip her hair back and forth. But yeah. no amount of nepotism to me would like make up for being raised by them. Like, I don't want it. They can keep it. And yeah, I don't know. I just think anyone who you're married to and goes out of your way to humiliate you and drag your name through the mud in the public, any chance they get is just not your soulmate. But yeah, I think that's what we can learn from that. Just anyone you're with who like publicly disrespects you, who humiliates you, puts their needs before yours, people who make you feel alone or insecure, not the one for you. Leave the relationship. There's no shame in it. See your way out.
Yeah. Will Smith needs to come out with a book like Surviving Jada, life lessons for every man.
Yeah. Oh my God. That would be very hard to survive. That would be the number one bestseller mm-hmm. for sure. Okay, you guys, so we have one more segment here, but before we get into it, I just want to acknowledge how sexy and ripped Sloan is.
It was so hot. I was like cooking in there.
Stop. Wait, so I've been like working out for like 3 years at this point. How long have you been working out?
Oh, I mean, my whole life, but like I've always did competitive swimming, and I was the type of swimmer where like your parents forced you like 6 a.m. in the morning after school. Every Saturday, Sunday, we've got swim meets, like club swim, county swim, high school swim.
Bus, I was an club,
dry land,
another club, swimming for shallow hours. End, deep end.
I mean, like half of my life in high school and middle school, I was like prune fingers and like just, Ooh. Yeah, always wet because I was swimming so much. So working out my whole life, but then moving to LA, you know, everyone here is buff, hot, write it out, abs, on everything. So,
and you're not.
No, I don't. Of course not. I'm completely natural. No. Yeah. I mean, we're all on a little testosterone, but like, you know, our hormones need to be balanced.
We're all on a little testosterone.
You too. Don't lie.
I haven't talked about it on here yet, but like, yeah.
I mean, it's just more about like, I mean, you want to be on the right hormonal balance. If you're not, then you're
exactly
your system's completely whacked. So
yeah,
you're like, do I cut this?
No. I've like definitely got some help at the gym like recently though. I feel like I'm getting more
swole.
LA
Fitness, right?
Yeah,
we need to work out. We should like work out on like.
You're still at LA Fitness. Like, you're like you haven't graduated from LA yeah. Fitness yet.
Maybe Wednesday. We should work out on Wednesday because I want to like put you in, see what you can do in the gym.
I know. Mm-hmm. No, I'm like down.
Yeah, look I want to see. You're Boom. Strong.
Oh you're like very like. I don't
you
know.
Scared me for a second.
Seriously? Yeah. No, you scared me, but in a way where I like want to come closer.
Yeah, not run away.
Yeah, it's like a danger, but.
No, I wouldn't want to fight with you. You've got some muscle on you. And plus, I know you've got that rage in you. Like,
I have rage.
Yeah, I run. Like, I'm scared. I'm a runner. Runner and track star. Gonna get out of there.
So you, if it's fight or flight, you flight.
Oh, flying first class out of there.
First class. Boom. Yeah, I guess I do have rage. I can talk about it here. My students know I like... I'm all about investing in myself and my looks and my appearance and my health.
Rage. I just think that you've got like... You could defend yourself. Like, I'm too scared.
Sloan's
too.
Like, Patty is the one fist fighting in the WeHo strip every night.
Have whenever you ever we fought go someone out. There?
No, I would never fight someone. No drunk loser is worth touching my face.
Wait until you start getting some history in this town. Because the only time I've ever fought someone in WeHo was on my birthday last year with a boy that my ex-boyfriend was cheating on me with. And he came out to me all smiling and happy. So I threw my drink at him and then pushed him and yeah.
Well, that's absolutely deserved. Next time that happens, though, I'm sure that won't like ever happen again.
Call you up and yeah.
get my whole squad there. Let's get a gang. Like yeah. Anyone who's cheating and they're gonna do that in your face,
the gay
We're gonna pull up on them.
Can you imagine? I mean, there's enough gay people out here. There probably are little like gay gangs.
I know it. I know, right? It actually
the
is.
Bottoms.
Yeah, it's like a gay gang, but it'd be called like a girl group.
Uh-huh. Hearing that just reminds me of the NPC people. Gang.
Oh yeah, gang.
Bomber,
thank you.
Bomber. Thank you for the bomber.
Popper. Thank you for the popper.
Oh my God, that is so good. There's probably a lot more we can think of too.
Anyway, speaking of gay and having rage, I've been injecting myself with testosterone. I think I recently started talking about that on my Instagram story, and it has made me like hormonal and angry.
Really?
So you're on a little bit of testosterone. Does it make you hormonal?
No, only side effects I have are, you know, looking hotter, getting buffer, people are nicer to me, clothes fit a little bit better. So, yeah, those are my current side effects.
I've noticed that too. My balls have shrunk.
I felt like my whole situation got like bigger, but like maybe I'm just acknowledging it more because definitely your libido like kind of helps itself. And I think that people like,
oh, my libido is like on 10 billion. I don't know what my issue is, why I can't like date a guy. Cause like I literally want a guy at every moment. So I don't know why I'm like, don't come here. I'll like get all rageful and like ruin it or something. Maybe that's why I think I'm too fucked up right now to like date someone.
I also think that people like, if they're hearing this and they don't understand like testosterone, they think that like you're taking something like crazy. Like, no, this is like doctor regulated. Like if you are, your hormones are imbalanced, then you are probably tired. You probably gain weight easily. You're not getting all the correct hormones from your food. So really it's just like balancing your levels to like just be a normal human. It's not even like an extra, it could give you an extra push because you're, oh, finally at like the right stabilization. But yeah, like,
that's what my thing is. I was at 300 out of a scale of 0 to over 1,000. And a man who is 80 years old should be about 250. So I was at like a really, really low level in my whole life. Grandpa,
professor.
I know. I think that's why this is such a deep diving topic, but students, we'll get into this more. But I think that's why it took me so long to like get into the dating realm and like come into myself, because I was like so, I feel like stinted a bit. Now I feel like I'm really opening myself up and coming into everything. But yeah, my levels now I'm assuming are like 800, 900.
Oh my gosh, I'm like way too high, but I don't even want to say
it. Oh my God, tell me.
1800.
Oh, okay, work.
That's way too high though. Bodybuilders are like 2000. That's way too high. No, it's giving heart attack.
It's giving heart attack, but I have faith in you. I have faith that your doctor is helping you.
I'm a lot lower now. Yeah. And that was like me like a month ago because I was taking like 3 shots a week. And now I take like 1.5.
Oh, okay. With 200
milligrams? I don't even know. Okay. I just have my trainer do it.
Okay. Work. Yeah. Mine is like a very stable or like baseline size injection.
Every day?
2 times a week.
Okay.
I did it yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So... if I come across a little mad or said something in this episode that offended you or talk shit about Selena Gomez every day or scream into the mic, that's why. Speaking of mad, you know what? Fuck the last segment. I need to talk about something. I am so fucking pissed that Halle Bailey is pregnant.
With the guy that like has been terrible?
Yes.
Oh, no, that's Kiki Palmer. I'm thinking Kiki Palmer.
Oh, yeah. Where's Halle Bailey? She got pregnant by a terrible man, too.
But like Haley, she has a terrible boyfriend, too, though, right?
Like, Halle Bailey has the worst boyfriend in the motherfucking world. And my loyal students who are the valedictorians here at Pop Culture University, they know how much I hate DDG. That's his name.
What'd he do?
He's an ungrateful, hating ass, loser ass, no money getting ass man who is so obsessed with Halle Bailey and will never let her go. And I knew he was going to baby trap her. And photos came out of her today. Pregnant. She was walking in Santa Monica, so not too far from where we are, in a big baggy sweatshirt. There's a big mound underneath. And she was at Fashion Week and just a bunch of events over the last month, like Beyonce's concert. And she was wearing baggy clothes with like a bit of a cinch in the waist, but nothing too tight to try to trick us. But we were all very, very, very suspicious that he knocked her up. He sealed the deal. And it seems like he finally fucking did. And I'm so mad that another loser ass man locked up a beautiful, successful, amazing woman like Halle Bailey. I'm actually mourning her life for her because now he has successfully baby trapped her. And I think baby trapping should be punishable by prison. Halle Bailey is very religious. Let's just say that.
I can't even say her name because I'm like mixing her in the... Who's the
Halle
Berry?
Berry? Yeah.
Halle Berry and then Haley Bailey.
Halle Bailey.
So what there's Halle Berry, right? That's someone else. Halle Berry?
Yeah.
Is it Halle Berry?
That's totally someone
else. But I have that name right? It's Halle Berry?
Yes, that is Halle Berry. She's an actress.
Halle Berry.
Halle Bailey.
Halle Bailey. They both have the same first name?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, they're both Halle.
Yeah.
So there's just Berry or Bailey.
Yes, but then Halle Bailey has a Chloe called Chloe Bailey.
Yeah. She's Ariel.
Halle's Ariel. Yes.
And Chloe's like the one at the album that really didn't perform that well.
Right? Yeah, who's always shaking her ass.
Always bitching about her album. Lord have mercy. Like no one buying it, no one listening to it.
I love it though. It was such a good album. And it was a very freaky deaky, sneaky album about, you know, riding it like a rodeo and doing splits on the dick. So you think Chloe would be the one to get pregnant, but it was the religious Disney girl, Halle Bailey.
Halle Berry.
Halle Bailey.
I don't even want to talk about her name anymore. But like,
yeah.
Also, this weird. I think it's interesting.
We can refer to her as Ariel.
There's some people who like wear the baggy clothes to like hide the pregnancy, and then there's others who will just like, they don't care if they're pregnant. They still put a corset on it and snatch it up.
Oh
like,
yeah.
They'll have that baby go somewhere else, I guess.
Yeah. Meantime, that baby will just come out with like a deformed rib.
She wants us to know she's ready for it, right?
I just think she can't hide it anymore. My problem is that DGG is like genuinely evil, and he wrote a song last month called Famous, and it was about how insecure he is dating a famous bitch. A famous bitch. The last time a man wrote a song called Famous and referred to a famous woman as a bitch, it did not end very well for Kanye West. He was pummeled into obscurity, canceled off the face of the earth. And that's what I wish would happen to DDG. In that song, he was talking about how he is so uncomfortable with her kissing guys in movies, with her having roles with other men like Eric in The Little Mermaid, so uncomfortable that she's becoming an A-list star and he thinks she's going to leave her, and he thinks she's going to leave him. One of the lyrics in the song is that something about how he might just say something to the press to ruin her career, or he might just tweet something to ruin her career if she gets too big and he gets too insecure. And the chorus is, the worst thing I ever did was fall in love with a famous bitch. So it seems like as the rise to A-list stardom, when The Little Mermaid came out this year, his insecurity was exponentially rising as well. Maybe he replaced some birth control with Tic Tacs, and now she's pregnant. He locked her up.
The song is called Insecure?
The song is called Famous.
Famous. It should be called Insecure.
It should be called, like, Bitch.
Yeah, like, Boy Bitch, because he cannot be with someone who's successful, like, a woman, entrepreneur, like actress, like she's
best
killing
voice
it
in the world.
Yeah, I loved her. Like when she did that one song of Loving You by Mia. What's her last name?
I don't know.
You know, she's actually she's the mother of Maya Rudolph.
Oh,
Minnie,
wow.
Minnie Temple, Minnie something, the one that sings Loving You.
Loving You. Oh,
yeah. I love that cover that she did. Made me fall in love with the song.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Anything she sings, though, like her version of Part of Your World.
So good.
The best song that happened last year. But yeah, I'm really just mourning her life for her now because she's stuck with DDG. I used to be on DDG's side too. I was like, guys, like, don't hate him. He's like working on his career. He has some songs. He's a YouTuber. He's trying. Now I'm like, what a sneaky backstabbing bitch. And now Halle Bailey's going to give birth to a little mer-bitch because she has his seed inside of her. Fans are so depressed though. Fans everywhere are so mad. They hate him. I wonder what Chloe Bailey's reaction was. I feel like she cried when she told her. It gets chills up my spine.
Does the family like not approve?
They better not. I don't know what there is to approve about. He has this like burner account on Twitter where he was like insulting Eric, the guy who played Eric in The Little Mermaid, because they were getting too close at the movie premiere.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, are you calling him Eric because the character is named Eric, or you just don't know the actor?
I don't know
the
actor's name.
It's just Eric from The Little Mermaid.
Eric from
That's
The Little
really
Mermaid.
Just who he is.
It's like Jonah or something.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. This is just a grieving moment. This episode is the wake of Halle Bailey's career. But yeah, girl, sucks for you. And whatever you were impregnated with is more demonic than whatever Emma Roberts is getting impregnated with on American Horror Story this season. She's having like a demon baby. So worse than that. But yeah.
They're not married, right?
No.
So it's child out of wedlock.
I know. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, he knows she didn't want that. And he knows she wouldn't.
I wonder what her boss says. Beyonce, right? Isn't she signed to Beyonce's record label?
Beyonce is going to be so disappointed in you. Halle Bailey. Yeah.
Well, I think like having a kids now are like, it's like kind of popular. Like back when we're like, I feel like when I was like really young, like when a teen pop star got pregnant, it's like their world is like over.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it's like they have babies for fun. Like,
yeah. Being a young mom is in.
Yeah. Brand them, then sell them off. Like the whole, you know, Stormy and everyone, like North. I feel like they're all like little like.
Yeah.
So maybe she'll just have like a little sidekick to like.
Yeah. Halle's trying to get her baby in the whole generation of the Kardashian kids. Yeah. She's like, go be best friends with them. You'll
make
be
her
set
a child
for life.
Actress. Yeah. Sell her to Disney.
Oh my God. Yeah. She could be the Little Mermaid. Anyway, I'm so sorry for you, Halle. We're mourning for you, and this sucks. DDG, I hate you, DDG. Fuck you, DDG. Well, thank you guys for joining me today in Pop Culture University. Make sure to like this video. I can't express to you enough how important liking is. My second video on YouTube. Let's try to get the algorithm on my side. Please subscribe. Make sure, if you're listening to this on audio only, to rate it 5-star on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Take a screenshot of yourself listening to it. Post it to your Instagram story and tag me. And if you do, I will hit you up in your DMs. I love talking to my students. I love all of you. Leave a cute little review. I want to leave a big thank you to Sloan for being the teacher's pet. You were incredible.
Thanks, Professor Patty. Did I pass?
Yeah. A plus. If you want, actually, no, A. If you want an A plus, you can meet me after hours. Okay. To earn that. But yeah, thank you guys for joining me, and I will see you next Tuesday. I love you all. Bye.
Bye, guys.